From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. President Donald Trump took to Twitter today to support Governor Mike Dunleavy. Trump helped raise funds to oppose a recall of Dunleavy by tweeting a link to an anti-recall group. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
President Trump posted that Democrats are trying to recall Dunleavy, quote, because his agenda is the economy, jobs, and protecting our military, Second Amendment, energy, and so many other things that the Democrats don't care about. Trump also tweeted a link to the website for Stand Tall with Mike, an organization opposing the recall. Within 6 hours of the first tweet, it was liked nearly 37,000 times. The conservative blog Must Read Alaska reported Trump met with Dunleavy in the Oval Office on Wednesday. Dunleavy has talked about previous meetings with Trump in recent national media appearances. Dunleavy told Breitbart News earlier this month that he and Trump shared an interest in developing the state's natural resources, like oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
He wants to get all of America back to work, and it's been nothing short of an economic miracle what he's been able to do. So with Alaska, he's been helping us out as well to try and get our economy back on its feet. And as you know, under the tax bill that was passed, ANWR was opened up.
In response to Trump's tweets, Recall Dunleavy Chair Mita DeWitt says most of the people who signed the recall application aren't Democrats, with undeclared voters the largest group. She also says recall supporters include veterans and active duty personnel, and that the Second Amendment is both secure in the state and not an issue in the recall. She says the president should stay out of state politics.
They're trying to fleece the American people so that they can bring in more money. And I think that he brings these other issues on board as a ruse.
DeWitt says Dunleavy is looking for financial help outside of Alaska because he doesn't have it inside the state.
I think that the governor should be in the state working on state politics and actually trying to talk to Alaskans, actually trying to engage broad bipartisan constituents and actually doing his job.
Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes says Dunleavy has been meeting with constituents of all political stripes. Hughes says she's disagreed with some of the actions of both Trump and Dunleavy, but she also agrees with them on many issues. And she sees a similarity between the impeachment investigation of Trump and the recall.
When we begin to set a precedent that when we don't like the outcome of an election, we don't like the agenda of the person elected, and we begin to work to unseat them, that really disrupts and introduces chaos into our system.
Stand Tall with Mike Chair Lindsay Williams says she doesn't have any comment on the president's support for Dunleavy. Dunleavy spokesman Jeff Turner says no state funds were used on Dunleavy's trip to Washington, D.C. He says he doesn't have any other information on the trip since it was personal. State Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumiai has asked the Department of Law to review the legality of the recall application by Monday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Early this year, not long after being sworn in, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy disbanded the state's climate change response team. And Dunleavy's administration now lacks a coordinated group or policy that guides the government's response to climate change threats. Stepping in to fill what it sees as a void is the Alaska Federation of Natives, one of the state's largest tribal groups. Earlier this month, it voted to declare a climate change state of emergency and to convene its own task force. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has this story on the Federation's push for action and the Dunleavy administration's response.
If you walk into the office of Alaska's Environmental Conservation Commissioner, Jason Bruni,
hey, my friend. How are you?
It doesn't take very long to get a sense of his priorities. On a little shelf next to the door, there's a miniature sandbox with some figurines in it.
What's going on here?
This is an open pit mine.
Okay.
That I have here. It's just nice. One of those sand things.
Bruni says he takes his job protecting the environment seriously. At the same time, he's also not shy about his enthusiasm for natural resource extraction, like mining and oil production. He used to run an industry group called the Resource Development Council, and he also worked for a company that was pushing the contentious proposal to build the Pebble Mine. Bruni says he wasn't involved with the administration's decision to abolish the state's climate policy and its response team. But he says even just by talking about the possibility of a carbon tax, none was ever formally proposed, the team's existence was sending a bad message to the oil industry, which powers Alaska's economy.
That's something that we don't even want to consider. It's going to economically disadvantage the projects in Alaska, and we need to be doing everything we can to show Alaska's open for business.
Bruni also says he doesn't see the issue as being as pressing as the Alaska Federation of Natives convention participants do.
I don't think it is an emergency right now, but I think we're addressing the issues that we're seeing, and we'll continue to follow the issue closely.
I'm worried about our future generations. Like, we're crying up here.
At the convention earlier this month, Quanah Potts was one of the youth delegates who sponsored the resolution declaring a climate change state of emergency. The decision wasn't unanimous. One Native Corporation leader argued passionately that development can and should be balanced with conservation. But one of the resolution's other youth sponsors, Fairbanks teenager Nanesh Peter, told convention delegates that there's too much of a focus on economic growth now and not enough attention on the future.
And we need to be thinking about all of our futures, too, because I'm sure you guys all have grandchildren or nieces or nephews, and it's their futures, and it's all of our futures, and it's all of our traditions and rights and cultures to keep this land healthy.
Peter thinks participants at the convention may see climate change as a more urgent issue because it affects them more directly. The villages threatened by coastal erosion are largely Alaska Native. Community members have fallen through weak ice and drowned, she says, and warming is threatening species that are important subsistence foods for many of Alaska's indigenous residents. For Alaskan Natives, Peter says,
it's more intense because our people have been here for so long, and it's heartbreaking to have to see all these devastating effects of climate change right now, and then knowing that if we keep going at this rate of pollution into our environment, then it'll get warmer.
While Dunleavy's administration has avoided much direct engagement on climate change, the state legislature may be getting closer to taking up the issue, says House Speaker Bryce Edgman, an Alaska Native from the Bristol Bay hub town of Dillingham. He says there are rural villages in his district that don't have fire trucks and are being threatened by wildfires. Some depend on commercial fishing and subsistence.
Alaska for years has basically just sort of shunted the issue, set it aside. And I think we're at the point where we can't do that anymore. And if we get the extraordinarily dry conditions like we did in 2019, that's going to be pretty serious stuff. And so the legislature needs to have that discussion.
Bruni, the Environmental Conservation Commissioner, says he's excited that the young Alaska Natives have organized around the issue. He says the Dunleavy administration is absolutely open to talking about how to deal with climate change's impacts. And he says the problem is real and that Dunleavy's administration isn't ignoring it. It's looking at how to help relocate communities threatened by coastal erosion, he says, at how to deal with impacts to infrastructure from thawing permafrost, at combating the spread of invasive species.
We're seeing coastal erosion. We're seeing increased fires. We're seeing permafrost melting. Glaciers are melting. Northward migration of spruce bark beetles, which are leading to additional fires. So absolutely, we are having impacts from a changing climate in Alaska, more so probably than anywhere else on Earth.
Bruni would not say what exactly it would take for the administration to deem the issue a statewide emergency. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Hurst.
A major health insurer in Alaska has announced plans to provide $5.7 million to help bolster rural health care in the state. The Juneau Empire reports the money pledged by Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska will go toward the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, University of Alaska Anchorage, and a new grant-making program administered by the Rasmussen Foundation in partnership with the Alaska Community Foundation. The grant-making program will get $3 million of the pledged funds. Jeff Rowe, president and CEO of Primera Blue Cross, says grants will go to rural outpatient clinics, community health centers, and hospitals for small capital improvement projects and medical equipment. Rowe told a press conference in Anchorage that expanding the reach of healthcare will help reduce costs for everyone. An Alaska judge will decide who is liable for the cleanup of a substance that leaked from a North Pole oil refinery and contaminated nearby water wells. Fairbanks Daily News Miner reported that the judge was considering a ruling after hearing closing arguments yesterday at a trial focused on sulfalane, a substance used in refining. Two companies and the state have engaged in litigation surrounding the sulfalane plume for nearly a decade. Law enforcement seized over $10,000 worth of heroin that was bound for Nome yesterday afternoon. According to the Alaska State Troopers, investigators stopped 28-year-old Quincy Iatunguk of Nome at the Anchorage Airport and seized almost 9 grams of heroin, or about 88 doses. Iatunguk had concealed the narcotics in a body cavity and intended to board a flight to Nome. Investigators from the Alaska State Troopers Anchorage Airport Interdiction Team intercepted him as part of ongoing investigations into drug trafficking and distribution in the Nome region. A similar arrest was made in August when 2 Nome locals tried to bring heroin to Nome through the Anchorage Airport. Iatunguk was jailed without bail at the Anchorage Correctional Complex. Unalaska has declared a local emergency over the community's lack of commercial air service. The city council approved the 21-day declaration at a special meeting last night, almost 2 weeks after Raven Air Group suspended the island's regular flights to and from Anchorage in the wake of a fatal plane crash. With the declaration, the city is planning to take on the complicated and expensive chartering process so individual Unalaskans don't have to. The order allows the city to charter up to 3 flights per week and then resell seats to the many community members looking to travel for work, vacation, and medical appointments, and more. Declaring an emergency also will help counselors seek state and federal help for the long-term projects to improve airport safety. And finally, in Washington State, Yakima County officials are turning a jail into a supportive homeless shelter and plan to pay for it with an additional sales tax. The Yakima Herald Republic reports county commissioners were applauded for their 3-0 vote on Tuesday for the plan. They'll convert a 288-bed jail into a multi-care facility named the Yakima County Care Campus. Yakima County commissioners say the 0.1% countywide mental health sales tax will generate more than $3.5 million a year for the facility. Commissioners say the facility will offer mental health services, substance abuse treatment, and long-term housing. Commissioners expect to fully convert the facility by 2026. And let's take a look at the National Weather Service forecast for Junipero and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, numerous rain showers, lows around 40. For Halloween, scattered rain showers, highs in the mid-40s. That is it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.